From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show. Well, somehow we actually made it this week. What was it? We missed last week, so, you know, shit to do. And all of a sudden, we're back, and it's Friday again, and look, here we are. Somehow we made it through the week. Man, I'm, like, fucking dragging. So we'll have to go ahead and just put it all into the power of whiskey, and perhaps we'll just power through this whole thing, right? Pop, man, pop. So just, just to kind of go ahead and catch up. What was it? Like 2 weeks ago, Qua came at me and he's like, hey, dude, do an AMA. I'm like, all right, whatever. So I threw an AMA up there. Didn't even have a chance to go ahead and promo it or anything. If you have any questions, just go to the freaking Ask Me Anything stuff. What you should be doing is, rather than going after like LP's old freaking AMA that's been there for 3 weeks, you really need to go and start asking Eileen and Nine an awful lot of questions, because they've decided that they want to go ahead and participate in the fun that is that Ask Me Anything group. Oh, check this out, Matt. My soundboard's already fucking with me. So, boy, a lot of stuff to go ahead and catch up on. So this week, I'm sitting there deciding to go ahead and indoctrinate my kids into this fantastic, like, rite of passage, watching the old Muppet Show shit that was over on the Disney Plus channel, right? Or as, you know, Ron would probably say, you know, the Disney Pedophile Plus channel, whatever. At any rate, so I'm sitting there going ahead and introducing them to the Muppet Show, and the first thing that comes up when the very first show comes on is this long-ass fucking disclaimer that takes, like, I don't know, the entire goddamn television screen, 20 fucking, like, you know, lines long, and it's sitting there going, you know, talking about, oh, well, you know, there's some, like, hurtful depictions of characters in this video, and they engage in violent things between one another, and blah, 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 and so on and so on. And, you know, I'm just kind of sitting there asking myself as I'm looking at this shit. Dude, and then I find out they actually pulled a lot of these old Muppet stuff, Muppet reruns, off of the YouTube channel. So you can't even get them there, and it's not because of the fact that it's copyright infringement. It has everything to do with the fact that it violates all of these, you know, like, kindness policies or whatever the case may be, right? So, excuse me, holy shit. So along with your Muppet Show, you get a box of tissues just in case you get hurt. Well, at any rate, I'm sitting there watching this first episode with Connie Stevens. And, you know, she's like this star from, like, way back when. So she's going to do this doo-wop number called Teenager in Love from, like, 1956. So my son, my four-year-old son, looks at me and says, is she going to sing Teenage Anarchist? And I'm just looking at him with a big smile on my face, rubbing him on the head, saying, you want to know something? you're a wonderful kid, but no, they're not going to do that. So if you're not familiar with what it is, the punk band Against Me does a song, Teenage Anarchist, right? Qua's been taken out. Yeah, not surprising. Let me put the spotlight on everybody else out there, but I'll just go ahead and skip out on mine. But at any rate, so shortly after that, you know, my daughter looks at me and she's like, so what's her name? Is it Anna? Because Anna can't be trusted. She's a freaking stool pigeon. And I'm sitting there laughing my ass off saying, you know something? The greatest part about this is these are my kids. It basically spouting back titles of songs, of anarchy songs, some of them punk and some of them otherwise. And I'm like, this is how you know you're raising your children right. You know what I mean? Damn, I guess I got COVID. Hold on 1 minute. Okay, I'm here. So, and then when all of this insanity with freaking, like, you know, with what's his face, Dr. Seuss's shit comes out, more on that later. My daughter, I was just talking with Ron. My daughter goes to school the next day, and the librarian has decided she's had enough of this shit. She's not going to tolerate any of this nonsense with banning books. So for her reading group, she goes ahead and busts out one of the banned Dr. Seuss books. Which one is it? Oh yeah, it's "And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street." So she goes ahead and busts this thing out and reads it to the entire class. And the whole purpose of this was for critical thinking skills so that they could expose themselves to that and make their own mind up as to whether or not they actually thought that it was offensive. What a fucking novel concept. Wow. Wow. So, huh? Drink? No problem, man. I've been doing it all day. Hold on a second. Mm-mm. Because it's in preparation for that cultural appropriation day of the Irish, you know, St. Patrick's Day. Got to go ahead and get it ready to go. Pop, man, pop. Dude, Qual, you got to change that name. I mean, at the very least, you should call yourself Corn Pop. That's what I'm thinking. But who am I to say, right? What do I know? So at any rate, during this whole period of time, I've been sitting here getting all this shit ready. So I go and get some headshots at a photo session, right? And, you know, I'm taking a look at all this fantastic the thumbnails that come back, and I'm like, holy shit, man, they say the camera adds 20 pounds or something like that. But, you know, at least on the upside, after liposuction, I can start my own soap line for all the merch that I'm creating, right? And I'm thinking to myself, wow. So as I'm looking at this stuff, planning on my future merchandise, you know, putting my fat ass into soap bars, I'm thinking to myself what I'll do. You know, as I was looking through this, I start seeing all these fucking things about, like, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow and freaking Victoria Beckham and all these women that are sitting here effectively trying to strip down and make themselves into something younger rather than gracefully aging, as though it's somehow like older women are offensive. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, listen, man, whatever happened to a wonderful thing where you could sit there and actually, I don't know, appreciate a woman who's getting older? There's this absolute sexy confidence that comes with it that translates across. And, you know, hey, cougars are a thing. Freaking MILFs are a thing. Can we all just go ahead and sit here and actually just appreciate aging women? I'm just sitting here thinking to myself. But, you know, it's amazing to see what the fuck they go through just to sit here and try and, I don't know, remain 24 years old or whatnot. So, like, for instance, Victoria Beckham, she's busy going ahead and taking, like, Nightingale shit facials. That's right. Taking the bird, the Nightingale bird, capturing the essence of all the shit that poops out of it and rubbing it all over her face because somehow this is going to go ahead and save her from aging. Dude, and then you've got, like, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow and her famous bee venom facials. By the way, more on that later. Hey, Clay. And then, of course, you've got Kate Beckinsale, Sandra Bullock, and Kate Blanchett all doing the baby foreskin facials. I know what you're asking yourself right now. What the fuck is a baby foreskin facial, right? What are they doing? Are they actually, like, capturing all of the little foreskins of all the little guys from the guillotines and shit like that? The answer is yes. So if you're wondering what a baby foreskin facial is, it's this EGF, which is an epidermal growth factor, which is derived from, like, newborn baby foreskin and the cells that were used. And from that, new cells are cloned in a laboratory. So what they'll do is they actually capture the essence of all of these foreskins and smear it all over their face so that they can go ahead and prevent aging, because they're just trying to capture all of the stem cells from inside of here. And it made LP start to think for a second, right? Why use cream made from the stem cells of baby foreskins when you could just sign up for, like, a Bukkake video and get all the free stem cell serum for your face could want, wish, or imagine for? In fact, you'd probably get paid for it. So I'm just wondering, why don't we go ahead and just cut to the chase, go straight to the Bukkake video, and bang, right? That's absolutely the best idea.
Anybody having fun around here? Anybody think that this is popcorn time?
Look at how fierce it can just slid into my DMs like that when I was going for this one right here. Dude, you stay the fuck over there, all right? Stop it. Just stop it. All right, we're back. I got control of my board again. All right, so yeah, man, just think about that for a second. So the unattainable beauty image of, like, Photoshop and fad diets currently being perpetuated by celebs like Elizabeth Hurley, Halle Berry, Jennifer Lopez, Chelsea Handler, all that shit is pretty fucked up right now. And the fact that the beauty industry's taking over this shit and using these fuckers as, like, influencers is even crazier. Let's be real, man. Body dysmorphia and body image issues, they're very real for both sexes, because if you stop and think about it, like, Jonah Hill recently came out on an Instagram post talking about this very fucking thing and the insecurities that he wound up dealing with, right? So they're raking in billions, perpetuating this stigma and all this shit, right? And it creates this intentional silence around everything. And then, of course, you can't let a never let like an opportunity like this pass by, right? So who should step into this gaping void of insecurity? Well, in swoops Gwyneth Paltrow, like the disingenuous ghost of like Billy Mays rising from the dead, ready to shill the latest reprehensible products, allegedly, that challenge even the marginal ethical considerations of QVC's risk management team. I mean, holy fucking shit, man. Do you know, she's got shit like, I'll tell you something, right? Her stuff, when you compare it to like Peter Popoff's freaking Miracle Spring Water, what? You think I made that shit up? That there's no Miracle Spring Water that actually exists from a dude named Peter Popoff? Here you go. Check this shit out. Check out the commercial. You can go to Peter Popoff's place, and you can go ahead and actually order some of this Miracle Spring Water that'll bring everything to your fucking doorstep that you could have want, wished, or imagined for, right? So even this guy has more integrity in some ways than what Gwyneth Paltrow actually has with her Goop Laboratories, right? Now, when you think about it, for like Goop Labs, for instance, it sounds authoritative, kind of like in the same vein that like the Muppet Laboratory sounds authoritative, right? I mean, I could just like imagine Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker, you know, the licensed functional medicine professionals. They can be responsible for like all the great product development over there, you know. I could just see it. He's sitting there developing this shit, and Gwyneth Paltrow's in the corner like Veruca Salt talking about, I want bee sting facial cream, and I want it now. You know, shit like that. I want jade vaginal eggs that you shove inside there, and I want it now. Couldn't you just see this shit happening? I sure could. Now, I think the key takeaway here is, like, when attempting to build a light... Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. Wrong. So you think about it that way, and of course, like, all the quality product and safety testing would be performed and peer-reviewed by, like, Kermit, Fozzie, and Gonzo. So you've got all that stuff, these critical, important people over inside of there developing all of this shit right here, right? Destigmatizing vagina candles. Dude, let me tell you something. I've got some fantastic, fantastic products in the pipeline. More on that later. So at any rate, the key takeaway here is that when you're attempting to build a lifestyle brand, remember, focus on the brand and not the legitimacy of the product, because nothing makes it more authenticious than putting the word lab at the end of a brand name, you know, like Goop Labs. So let's go ahead and have a couple examples here, right? So for instance, think about some Urban Dictionary like alternative lifestyle brands. Think about like Alphabet Mafia Labs, right? Or maybe the Blumpkin Labs. I got one everyone can relate to in this show. How about the Donkey Punch Labs? I mean, that shit sounds absolutely authenticious. Sounds like something that's like a real fantastic, I don't know, stand-up kind of a thing. Did lots of product testing and all that shit. Shit, I bet QVC would pick up products from those brands immediately before they'd go ahead and pick up Gwyneth Paltrow's stuff. But you know something? The funnier thing about her is, you know, Miss Gwyneth Paltrow apparently is now facing some backlash because, remember, kids, she apparently pioneered the wearing of face masks, according to this. So in a recent interview with the New York Times, the Shakespeare in Love actress was praised for sharing a selfie wearing a mask back in 2020, in February. So she wanted to insinuate that the moment was the starting point of mass popularity. Quote, "This is a familiar pattern in my life," said Gwyneth Paltrow. "I do something early. Everyone is like, what is she doing? She's insane. And then it's adopted by culture." Let's just stop there for a second. Culture, you know, adopting it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a fucking genius, right? Let's go ahead and point out a case in point here. How about culture adopting the Gorilla Glue Challenge that we've spoken at length about here? Does that mean that you're some fucking trailblazing awesome person that, like, you know, the whole world should look at as some fucking brilliant genius? Huh? I'm just asking for a friend.
No.
That's right, Carlos. You let her know. So no, you could be a fucking tard with the dumbest fucking ideas, and that doesn't make you a cultural fucking genius. It just makes you a fucking tard that happens to have an awful lot of followers, right? So let's take a great moment. I mean, let's go ahead and take her at her word here, right? So she does something early and like everyone follows what she's doing and it's adopted by culture. So I'll tell you what, let's take a look at some of the great moments in mass cultural adoption from our medicine show salesperson, from our great moments in natural selection-inspired influencer and our cultural attaché to the ignorant Gwyneth Paltrow, right? Oh, shit, there was a level up. One moment, please. Back to the regular scheduled program. All right, so let's look at a couple of these wonderful, fantastic, pioneering, trailblazing moves. Like, for instance, all the way back in 2015, when she started her great trailblazing moves, she started with vaginal steam therapy. Okay?
I mean, what the fuck?
That's right, kids. It's called a V-steam. And it's a spa treatment that cleanses a customer's lady parts. And in Gwyneth Paltrow's own words, quote, "The real golden ticket here is not..." Excuse me. I was about to go ahead and interject my thoughts here. "The real golden ticket here is the Mugwort V-steam. You sit on what's essentially a mini throne, and a combination of infrared and mugwort steam cleanses your uterus et al. It is an energetic release, not just a steam douche, that balances female hormone levels," she adds. "If you're in LA, you absolutely have to do this." Well, I mean, this, you know, in this wonderful world of, like, being the pioneer and the first of everything, we may have run into one or two little speed bumps here. So, for instance, the first little speed bump of a setback may have happened when gynecologists were quick to counter Goop's article about vaginal steaming procedures, that they could offer any cleaning or hormone balancing effect. And in fact, as documented in a Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology in Canada and reported by the New York Post, a 62-year-old Canadian woman, why is it always Canadians? I'm just curious. At any rate, a Canadian woman ended up being hospitalized with second-degree burns after steaming her vagina over a boiling pot of herb-infused water because of the fantastic advice that was offered by our wonderful influencer here, Gwyneth fucking Paltrow. But that's okay. You can just have a little bit of a setback, right? Not a problem. Exactly. Exactly, Nine. It's always the fucking Canadians. And I'm just, you know, wondering. I'm wondering. From the land of maple syrup, we have all of this shit happening. So she had a small setback, but she decided to go ahead and blaze the trail even further. So what's her next greatest move? Well, in 2017, she came up with the fantastic jade egg. So the lifestyle brand Goop began selling a $66 jade egg that claimed it could improve everything from orgasms and hormonal imbalances to feminine energy when inserted into a woman's vagina. Let's just stop right there. Dude, Benoit balls have existed for years, right? They never made any of these ridiculous claims. What they've turned around and said is, hey, you know what? If you shove these up inside of you and you take a walk around the block, you will have an orgasm the likes of which you've never had before. And you know something? Truth in advertising, right? At least they were very straightforward about it. They weren't sitting here saying, you know what? We'll go ahead and balance your chi and your chakras and all that shit for you. All you have to do is give birth to this jade egg when you're finished with it. Which, you know, in and of itself is pretty fucked up. And I mean, I'm sure many people are sitting there looking at this shit and going, am I going to go ahead and buy this? And it's like, what the fuck, man?
How about new?
Not a fucking chance. But there were people that did. In fact, there were so many people, they might have had just another slight setback when Bloomberg News reported that the company agreed to pay $145,000 to settle allegations that it made unsupported claims about three of the products itself, including a tincture and two vaginal eggs. And I just kind of sat there and said, hold on a second. We were talking about a single vaginal egg. Do you mean they sell these in sets of two? So why are we calling it an egg? Why don't we just call them Jade Benoit balls? I'm just curious. I'm asking for myself. Hey, are you writing all this shit down over there? I'm just saying, right? Come
Did
on
I
now.
Make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Truth in advertising, man. But then again, we've got to blaze the trail even more. We've got to sit there and be the first because society has to copy us. So what the fuck does Gwyneth go ahead and come up with next? How about bee venom therapy? So she's singing the praises of this shit in a Goop article, and New York Times picks it up. And it turns out that what winds up happening is, according to her, being stung by bees on the face completely eliminated an old injury. And not to be outdone in this golden age of natural selection, Kourtney Kardashian, Kate Middleton, Victoria Beckham, all of them endorse this product as well because, you know something, Gwenny's the trailblazer, and we got to go ahead and make sure that we got lots of views on that Instagram shit. More shit to push, more bullshit. At any rate, it might have had another minor setback when a 55-year-old Spanish woman died due to repeated exposures to an acupuncture method that uses live stinging bees instead of traditional needles, which basically was the bee venom therapy that was pushed. So, I mean, shit. Why stop there? I mean, you've had a couple of setbacks. She got 103,000 followers and shit. Why stop there when we can just go ahead and continue to go ahead and use our kabuki theater and fucking medicine show bullshit and just push out more fucking stuff? So much so that now she's got this fantastic COVID therapy that she wants to go ahead and put out there. And the National Health Service of England might have a small problem with it. So Gwyneth Paltrow recently revealed in a post that she contracted COVID early on. Are we sad for her? I'm just saying, you know, are we concerned?
How about new?
Okay, so at any rate, she says that she had to deal with high inflammation and she was told by a, quote, functional medicine practitioner, you know, like Dr. Bunsen Honeydew. When vaginal rejuvenating bee stings. You know, Clay, I have no idea, but I'm sure that what's going to happen is, in addition to the vaginal rejuvenating bee stings, there's got to be some Gorilla Glue in there somewhere, because otherwise it's not current and it's not, like, you know, in the news cycle, and it's not, I don't know, breakthrough and trailblazing. So she went to this functional medical practitioner out over in, like, the Amazon somewhere, I'm sure. And, you know, it's like a form of alternative medicine that encompasses a number of unproven and disproven methods and treatments. So, you know, they, like, go over there and say, oh, do you have some inflammation? No problem. Here's a box of NERDS. What? I'm sorry. Are you running into some problems where you're having breakthrough bleeding? No problem. Here's some vaginal shrinking cream that we got from the adult bookstore just up the street. Just use this. You'll be fine. Well, he pointed her in the direction of his own book about intuitive fasting, which he says she's been doing a version of in her recovery. So Paltrow also says that she reverted to keto and plant-based diets, using lots of coconut aminos and indulgences and infrared saunas and all kinds of shit like that. So the NHS in England was addressing her stance, and it's like, you know, we're really happy that you're actually feeling better, Gwen. But do me a favor, everybody. The solutions she's recommending are not the solutions we'd recommend in the NHS. So could you please just fucking knock it off? You know what I'm saying?
How about new?
So in the event that you get a sense of twisted joy and fulfillment, feeling your brain cells commit ritual suicide as they drink the Jonestown Kool-Aid of ignorance, here's the link to Gwyneth's blog right here so you too can read this absolute fucking train wreck of of a sales pitch. And what I love is how it's got all of her products scattered all over the place, right? And you can embrace that feeling and buy a whole bunch of hand-picked functional medicine practitioner-inspired products, allegedly, developed in cooperation between Goop Labs and Dr. Bunsen Honeydew from the Muppet Labs. You know what I'm saying? The whole fucking segment, that one right there, should inspire a prestigious kind of award like the Darwin Awards, right? Well, how about we go ahead and come up with one? I have this great idea. How about we have great moments and just shut the fuck up, right? And who could we go ahead and start as, like, our pioneer? Are we going to go with Gwenny Paltrow
over
here?
How about new?
Absolutely not, because she's an easy target and an obvious target. Why go with Gwenny Paltrow when you can get an equally ignorant and loudmouthed blonde, kind of like Meghan McCain? That's right, kids. Why not just go for fucking Meghan McCain? Now, are we going after Meghan McCain personally over there? Absolutely not.
No, no, no.
Are Meghan McCain's words fair game? They absolutely are. So she embarked on one of her signature rants during which she complained about not getting a COVID vaccine yet, despite her position as a co-host of a very important daytime talk show, The View. And she called on President Joe Biden to fire Dr. Anthony Fauci and replace him with someone who actually does understand science. I'm just curious, Megan, what qualifies you to go ahead and decide whether or not he actually understands science better or worse than you do? I'm just curious. So she was sitting here and said, quote, "So I was very frustrated when I saw this clip," explaining she has respect for the pandemic that's now taken more than 500,000 American lives and doesn't mean to downplay the tragedy. "That being said, next week will be a year since I've left the studio, and I've been very responsible in many different ways. So many Americans have been.
and the fact that Dr. Fauci is gonna go on CNN and he can't tell me if I can get a vaccine and if I'll be able to have dinner with my family. The fact that I, Meghan McCain, co-host of The View, don't know when or how I'll be able to get a vaccine because the rollout for my age and my health is so nebulous. And I have no idea how long I'll be till I get it.
Come on, man. Can we all fucking grow up over here? So with all of that bitching and whining, right? All I can say is, hey, Meghan, it sounds as if you've attended a Goop Health Summit and received your medical degree through a private mentorship from Gwyneth Paltrow with an internship in Goop Labs from a Groupon special you clicked during an afternoon of, like, binge drinking. You know what I'm saying? It's like, get a fucking life, man. Could you please? Oh, my God. Projectile vomiting your stream of consciousness bullshit in a desperate attempt to be relevant and expecting to be taken seriously because daddy was famous and did a lot in politics makes you a punchline, not a pundit, okay? Let's just be real about that. It's like a step above, like when Willow Smith was shitting all over Olivia Jade about privilege on her mom's show and Red Table Talk, as though, like, Willow Smith would have actually had a fucking musical career if daddy didn't hold a gun to someone's head to produce that garbage. Whip My Hair would have been a forgotten punchline to an amateur performance at the local fucking dive bar. That's what it would have been. At any rate. So when facts and credibility don't matter anymore, and ratings for The View slide below reruns of fucking Ancient Aliens like they are now, desperate times require desperate measures, and no problem, LP's here with lots of ideas to how to make the View much more edgy. So imagine if The View is looking to become edgy and relevant again today in this day and age of idiocracy-related television, what we should do is dump Meghan McCain and get a conservative opinion that matters. You know, bring back Honey Boo Boo. Shit, maybe even have her host it, for fuck's sake, right? I mean, you gotta go ahead, you gotta tweak the show decor a bit when she comes in. You know, replace the plants in the background with, like, a moonshine still, maybe a meth lab, some broken down Ford truck, and a few meth pipes all over the table. You know, but you've got to go ahead and create that authenticity and get Tom Lehrer on The View. Shit, man, we could just bring back the whole fucking cast, Clay. Think about it that way, right? We'll bring back Mama June, Honey Boo Boo, Pumpkin, Chubbs, and Chickadee, and we can rebrand it to the Sketty Table Talk. That would fucking be great. See, that is brilliant freaking branding. We could even bring Sugar Bear back as a special guest when we need some mandatory 2 minutes of hate directed at white male privilege. Bro, let me tell you, it would fucking be perfect, right? And listen, one can sit there and say, hey, LP, this is kind of a misogynistic rant. When are we going to have equality? Well, I've also got the honorable mention for inclusiveness and just shut the fuck up already. And who else could it be? Who could be that perfect person that we just want to go ahead and absolutely just, I don't know, drown in a bathtub? Let me tell you, it would be none other than Chucky Munger. That's right, man. This is Warren Buffett's buddy, his sidekick, the guy who goes ahead and lives in Warren's shadow, who Warren claims is his fucking world-class investor. I don't know. All I'm saying is, when you're basically sitting there saying a little inequality is good for the economy, dude, listen, when you're in your ivory tower of fucking privilege over there, do me a favor, bro. Just shut the fuck up already, okay? So at any rate, Charlie Munger says wealth inequality has inevitable consequences of policies that make a nation grow richer and elevate the poor. I could go into a lot of this whole thing about the bullshit that he spins about the bailouts and how we had to do what we had to do in order to save the economy. Yeah, dude, shut up with you and your fucking trillions in money that you received. But I think the best part has to be when he's sitting here talking about who gets rich faster and so on, we shouldn't be too concerned about it because, quote, that makes the whole thing very awkward. And it's a shame that economics textbooks don't emphasize how much a growing economy needs poverty in order to get out of poverty. And if you try to reduce poverty too much, it's counterproductive. Hey, Chucky, listen, I understand, bro, that you need to go ahead and have people clean your pool and shit. I understand you need to go ahead and have like a circus sideshow of like, I don't know, hired talent earning a barely above minimum wage, you know, perhaps a couple of illegal aliens that you've smuggled in across the border, allegedly, in order to go ahead and pay them, allegedly, below market wages so that you can go ahead and feel powerful and good about yourself. But let's just be real, bro. I understand you're a doddering old fool and you don't really understand what you're saying. Most of what you're saying in here is get off my fucking lawn. Don't touch my money. And I get that, right? But generally what you want to do is you don't want to say those things out loud, especially when you're like in the middle of, I don't know, like a crisis in unemployment from these very people that you're trying to attempt to go ahead and subjugate. So do us a favor, Chucky Munger. In your honorable mention for inclusiveness and just the shut the fuck up already. Hey, Chucky, just shut the fuck up already. Just sit there, smile, be like a grandpa. You know what I'm saying? Say a bunch of meaningless drivel and nonsense. Talk about shit when you were a kid and all that kind of stuff. And just kind of leave the important, sensitive topics, you know, to other people that actually know how to, I don't know, have a conversation with people. And I don't know, empathize with them in a way that maybe you don't want to have them feel like they need to go string you up. Like, you know, like they did in the Gilded Age. Oh, wow. That was a little bit insensitive of me, wasn't it?
Boy, how dare you?
I know. I know. But, you know, we've got to sit here and address these issues of classism and all that stuff at some point. But not now, because you know why? Because it's break time. And you know what? LP needs some whiskey. We're going to take a break. Be right back. Wow, kids. So that was, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and lobby for more 5+ minute songs because, wow, that was great. I had enough time to do everything that I needed to do rather than having to squeeze in like, I don't know, 40 songs for a 30-second segment. You know what I'm saying? So I'm taking a look here over at what Ron's putting up with the Independent Press. Yeah, that's kind of like old news. But what wound up happening was the most interesting piece was the jobs report that came out actually today. And it turned out that like 70% of the jobs that were created, and I think there were like 392,000 of them that were created, 70% of them were waitresses, bartenders, and cooks. So all of it has to do with the fact that we've been closing our borders off for a number of reasons. And yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. It is old news. So during that whole break, also, Jason went ahead and had a question for me over on the AMA over here. So inquiring minds want to know. Apparently, I'm the bread whisperer. Jason wanted to know what kind of bread is best. I mean, Jason, that's a pretty open question. I'm just saying, it's a pretty wide open question. So I'll formulate some kind of a response. I don't know, maybe when I put up another one of those 5+ minute things so that I can just kind of click away here and not have to worry about it. But, you know, we're talking about those fucked up Canadians and the strange shit that they're doing. Yes, the bread whisperer. What you missed, Nine, was there was a period of time last year where I decided to take up the art of sourdough bread making. And the thing about it is, like, you know, before I did what I did or what I'm doing, I was when I was in college, I was actually doing chemical engineering. So the engineering, or I should say the chemistry side of the entire thing is what fascinates me. So, boom, there you go. Put up a good recipe for Irish soda bread. Irish soda bread recipe. I'll think about it. You know what? Maybe if you throw it up in the AMA, I'll respond. So at any rate, talking about those weird ass Canadians and stuff like that, for some reason or other, what wound up happening. She says she's Irish. What wound up happening over in Winnipeg, for instance, is erotic snow sculptures apparently have become a thing. So, yes, kids, we're over in the we're in the cultural attaché part of things. We're keeping up with current events in culture over there. So apparently there's a Facebook page that's purporting to be the city's complaint department. And it's fantastic because a post on Friday shows a picture of a person seemingly performing a sex act on another person seated at a bench. And then last page, there's another picture with blurred out nether regions of a snowman apparently jerking off. And, quote, the city of Winnipeg would like to remind residents to please stop creating sexually suggestive snow people, especially around schools. City crews have dismantled dozens around the city. And apparently a third one appeared January 30th that showed that was wearing a hood. Captured on CCTV, a person wearing hood, captured on CCTV video. Apparently, they covered one of the department clerk's video, cars with a fantastically massive snow dick. So you can check it all out over there.
But we're going to talk right now about the abortion that is TikTok and fucking destroying anything in fucking society. So what have we covered here? Let's see. We covered the Gorilla Glue Challenge, sponsored in part by TikTok. We covered, I forget what it was last week or last time I was here. Well, you would think that what happens is, you remember like once upon a time when all this shit was like relegated to like some of the deep, dark bowels of YouTube, and they'd have some sort of algorithm that would shut this shit down, and it was really hard to get involved in some of the dumbass challenges there. I mean, you could get away with a few, like the Kylie Jenner like lip challenge and the freaking planking challenge and all that bullshit and the ice bucket challenge, shall we not forget. But you want to know what's even better than all of that stuff? I'll tell you what's better than all that. It's when you have the erection cream challenge to make your lips bigger. Yeah, that's right, kids. So apparently what wound up happening is we have this brilliant gentleman over here, Jerry Ball, whatever the fuck his name is. He's slathering white paste on his lips, and apparently it was identified as an erection cream that's used to help those who have trouble getting it up. So apparently he had some spare, like, boner cream over in the drawer and thought that maybe we should go ahead and see what it does to the lips and just, I don't know, in a desperate attempt to to fucking be relevant, boom, let's put that shit on there. So he said it's a French brand that's got a giant penis on it that he found in a sex shop in his drawer. You know, in his fucking drawer. And, you know, what winds up happening with these things is they typically rely on a vasodilator that widens the vessels. So he said later his lips were burning and he decided to wipe it away, but he revealed noticeably plumper lips, which led to his followers to inquire about his erection cream of choice. So if you're looking to get those pouty DSL lips, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. Just get some erection cream, slap it on there. But what's kind of interesting is that some of these creams also contain peppermint oil, which leads me to ask the question, why the fuck would you put anything with peppermint oil on your balls or your shaft or anything? And I can't necessarily address a gender in this because, you know, the day and age that we're in. So I'm just going to ask the audience, them, what in the hell would possess you to take peppermint oil or something with it to with a vasodilator to put on your shaft? I'm just curious about this because apparently, you know, when it's like applied to the wrong stuff, it causes swelling, peeling, and allergic reactions. I mean, why don't you just masturbate with a fucking, like, you know, 10 grit sandpaper and get the same sensation? I'm just wondering. Yeah, sounds like it burns. It burns. Holy shit. So, yeah, you know, just and not only that, but again, one of the national health departments jumped in and was just wanted to let you know that consuming vasodilators in the form of pills has been shown to increase a person's blood pressure, cause heart palpitations, chest pain, and headaches. So there's a chance that something like that could happen to you if you accidentally swallow too much of the erection-boosting cream. So basically what they're saying is spit, don't swallow, right? And just remember, when you're going to use that erection cream on your lips, it could go ahead and actually peel your shit off and cause all kinds of allergic reactions and shit. You could potentially die from applying erection cream straight to your freaking lips. And, you know, speaking of cultural shit that's going on, in the latest, greatest news, and Ron had alluded to this the other day, apparently China has now decided to go ahead and anally swab everybody that's coming in. But before that, they accidentally used anal swab tests on U.S. diplomats, you know, accidentally on purpose in January. They began using, like, anal swab COVID tests on school children because, you know, there's nothing fucking creepy about that. And they claimed that it was, like, more accurate and, you know, more humiliating. So China also requires the intrusive, and when we're talking intrusive, they're saying that they basically have to take a Q-tip and shove it up your ass about, like, 2 to 3 inches. Like, that's not uncomfortable, right? Could you imagine that fucking conversation as you're standing in line over at, like, you know, the checkpoint to go ahead and get inside of China? It's like, yeah, okay, can I get your paperwork? Fantastic. Excellent. Now, I'm going to have to take this Q-tip and ram it up your ass. Could you please drop trowel right here? It kind of reminds me of, like, years back when I was working over in New York City. I was working at this ad agency, and I was their director of finance. So I wound up getting some of these, some tickets to a Yankees baseball game. And so, you know, AMR, we fly her parents in, and we're all over at the Yankee game. And I think they're against the Oakland A's. And so I'm sitting in there, you know, at every game, they have this giveaway that they do where it'll be like, hey, why don't you go over and check out the Food Network station over there? You can get some free chocolate sundaes and blah, 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 and all that shit, right? Well, this time it's like the person comes on the PA. So Yankee fans out there over at Gate G, we're offering free prostate exams for all the men who've been replaced. Just go ahead and line up over behind the curtain at Gate G for your free prostate exam, courtesy of XYZ Prostate Exam Center, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I was just like, what? That can't have possibly happened. Dude, there was a vacancy in the Yankees marketing department shortly after that one. Well, it's kind of like this, right? In China, you're going inside of there and it's like, well, thank you for coming and visiting our country. You know, we would like to give you a free gift as a token of our gratitude. Could you turn around and let me shove this Q-tip straight up your ass? So apparently what wound up happening was a group of U.S. diplomats and their family members reported that they were subject to anal swabs, you know, getting something shoved right up their ass because, you know, I mean,
how dare you?
That is one way to minimize travelers. And you know what's really fucked up is that the Japanese now are effectively saying, no, we're going to go ahead and run the Olympics. Don't worry, we're a year late, but we're not going to invite anybody in. No foreigners permitted. And I'm like, businesses are over there dying right now. But you know, whatever. Whatever. So at any rate, China first claimed that the tests were given in error. And then they said, wait a minute, hold on. Oh, actually, we never did that. And we've never required anal swabs for diplomats. And then what? Last week, they're like, anal swabs for everybody if you're not Chinese. And of course, you know, I'm sure that'll go ahead and just absolutely open the doors wide and everybody's going to want to come in there. So it is what it is. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take another break here and we're going to get ourselves in the mood for Irish Cultural Appropriation Day coming up on March 17th. Catch you after the break. Hey, Darsico, do me a favor. Next time, why don't you go ahead and just go on, like, Twitter and let everybody know that, like, freaking green caps equal Irish. I'm sure that shit will go over fucking well. Oh, my God, man. But you know something? When I did live over in Manhattan, it was fucked up because when we're talking about, like, St. Patrick's Day in particular, yeah, right? On Twitter, man, you will get fucking killed. cultural appropriation. Then again, you never know, right? I mean, everybody's going to talk about your hurtful comments, and I'm sure that they'll go ahead and just like shut you down awfully fast for that green cap comment. And then you'll be a meme, and they'll create a hashtag on you, you know, green hat troll or some shit like that. It'll be fucking fantastic. But like over inside of Manhattan, one of my favorite moments had to be when I was over. I worked in the Empire State Building, and I can remember on St. Patrick's Day, it's like, you know, the salespeople already tell me, hey, dude, are you going to go ahead and come down over to the bar next door with us? I'm like, bro, it's like 8:30 in the morning. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and start drinking some Irish coffee and eggs? Well, actually, yes. And I was just thinking to myself, dude, I came to the like, most perfect place ever. So there was this bar that was right next door. It was three floors, and it was owned by seven dudes from Ireland. And I would go over there, you know, after work with everybody like once a week or whatever. And we go over there this one time. Now, you got to remember, when you're talking St. Patrick's Day, you have the Irish troops that go walking down the street or whatever the fuck. And then you also wind up having like the Scottish group that goes along with them because it's like shared cultural Celtic heritage, I suppose. Well, at any rate, we go over to the bar and... And I remember AMR was with me. I'm like, let's go over to the bar. You couldn't fucking get into this place, but fortunately, we had become friends with one of the owners, and he gave us a spot up over in the back on, like, the third level or some shit that's overlooking everything. And as I'm walking into this place, It's like the perfect stereotype of every bad fucking Irish joke is about to get thrown out. There's this little dude who's like probably about, I don't know, maybe 5'6" or some shit like that. Dark hair, blue eyes, skinny little fucktard. And he's taking like five people to throw him out, right? And as he's getting hauled out, you hear him shouting out, "You cannot throw me out! You cannot throw me out!" And they chucked his ass out there on the fucking pavement and, you know, read him the riot act and all that stuff. But I come inside this place after seeing one of my Celtic brethren getting tossed on the pavement like that. And I look over and there's this like really sad attempt at like a U2 cover band in the middle of it. And everybody's like talking over them. You can barely hear them singing, you know, it's like, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for," you know, that shit. And as I'm walking up the steps to go to the top and catch up with the group with AMR, right next to us happens to be the Scottish drum brigade that had been in the marching band earlier in the morning. And the Scottish drum brigade is sitting there, you know, hurling all kinds of fucking insults down there. And at one point, one of the guys just is enough. He says, "You know, enough's enough. Let's show these tossers what a real fucking band is like." So they, you know, crank up the fucking, blow horns, the fucking bagpipes and shit, start drumming. There's got to be like, I don't know, 15 dudes with snare drums, everybody freeballing underneath their kilts and their sporn and shit like that. So it got really fucking loud really fast. But that was St. Patrick's Day, a normal St. Patrick's Day over in New York City. I can't imagine that it's going to be anything like that now. Fuck no. Everybody will like, be like socially distanced and shit. Yes, they did have bagpipes inside there, nine. And they also had all of their snare drums and all that shit. If you've never been next to a snare drum brigade inside an enclosed space, holy shit, man. My ears are still ringing from that shit. You know what I'm saying? Good fucking God. But it was kind of funny. I mean, I was more interested and I was laughing at the insults going back and forth. That's, you know, I think my favorite insult still to this day is calling a person a tosser. You can call them wankers, but wankers just don't have like the same, doesn't have the same fuck you as calling somebody a tosser, in my humble opinion. It canceled Mardi Gras. That's fucked up. Isn't that an outdoor festival? Well, I guess if you're like lining bodies up next to each other and shit like that, whatever. But I don't know. I wouldn't have expected Louisiana to cancel Mardi Gras this year, Clay. That's really fucking weird to me. But whatever. One of the things that I got to appreciate about Louisiana is at least they don't have this like draconian stupidity of you can't take the drink that you started drinking inside the bar and walk down the street with it. I'm just saying. And to answer your question, Clay, no, I have not. So I would imagine that it's got to do with the fact that, but you know, I would have thought, all things considered, like Mississippi just said, we're fucking done with all of this mass stuff, right? Along with Texas. I would have thought Louisiana would have just like said, you know, us too. We could really use Mardi Gras right now because we need some dollars. So it is what it is, man. However, they're going to go ahead and manage it. But, you know, in this insane fucking weird culture war shit that's going on right now, right? So like, I talked about Dr. Seuss a little bit earlier today. Here's the most fucked up thing. So we start off with this far-left group called Learning for Justice, claiming that books which were written by Theodore Seuss Geisel contained Orientalism, anti-blackness, and white supremacy because now Dr. Seuss is the racist of the week, right? So what's interesting about this is the fallout from this whole thing. So like President Biden removed all mentions of Seuss from Read Across America Day, held on Seuss's birthday on the 2nd of March. And then six Seuss books, including And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street, which I talked about earlier, suddenly get banned because of all of this, they're no longer going to be published due to racist and insensitive imagery, according to the organization that preserves his legacy. These books portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. Ceasing sales of these books is part of our commitment and our broader plan to ensure Dr. Seuss Enterprises catalog represents and supports all communities and families. Let's just stop right there, right? So there's some images that are kind of offensive, but everything else is okay. So we're going to just stop printing everything, right? Have we ever thought about, I don't know, maybe replacing the images? Just a thought. I mean, you know, we could just
replace. How dare you?
I know, insensitive, right? We could just keep the books. We could keep printing the books. Just change the images. But anybody got any thoughts on that? What do you think? Good idea?
How about new?
Yeah, no, nobody wants to do that. They shut that shit down. So shortly after the cancel mob came for Dr. Seuss, several of the banned books began selling for hundreds of dollars on eBay. In fact, one eBay seller saw prices rise 5.2 million percent. Then, of course, eBay decides they're going to step in. And eBay has said that they're currently sweeping the marketplace to remove all of those items, a spokeswoman for the company said. New copies of the six books will no longer be for sale at major retailers such as Barnes & Noble on Thursday afternoon. And plenty of controversial items. Oh, wait a second. The other thing that wound up happening is Universal Studio told Spectrum News it was evaluating its Dr. Seuss-themed attractions at Seuss Landing. And what's really kind of funny is right after eBay puts out this announcement, somebody came on and said, you know what's real kind of interesting is all the other controversial items you have on there. You know, like Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf and like the Turner Diaries that you can go ahead and buy. Yeah, you know, that's popular with white supremacist groups. Those were still available for sale on eBay as of Wednesday evening after you pulled all of those offensive Dr. Seuss books. So what's up with that? So by Thursday, they said, oh, fuck, get rid of the Turner Diaries quick. Because the Turner Diaries is basically all about a lone wolf going around and killing off a bunch of people, right? So at any rate, that was no longer available, but you could still buy Hitler's Mein Kampf for a mere $88. So I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm kind of like getting lost as far as who the racist of the week is and which books we should be burning. And I'm just going to put it out there and hope that woke culture will help us out a bit. I mean, can woke culture just coordinate with Amazon to automatically send over all the copies of the next titles that we're supposed to burn at the next meeting already? I mean, it's a bit hard to keep up with the Reign of Terror style purge each week. And here I thought Amazon would have already been optimized for this shit. You know what I'm saying? So do us a favor, man. I can't keep up with this shit. My calendar's full. My boomer brain is like dying over here. So just like, I don't know, man. Put me on some kind of like a fucking Christmas wish list or whatever it is. Send that shit over here. Let's barbecue some books and shit like that. Hopefully we'll get the right books, right? Oh, man. I'm sorry. Was that offensive?
How dare you?
I know. I probably should stop already. At any rate, man, I'm going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, Cultural Attitude of the Stars, Ringmaster of the Shit Show this evening. You're listening to Joculation here on MSP Waves. But you know what? First, a word from our sponsor.
You lube up every inch of your slide with painstaking care, then pack that instrument snug and deep in the trunk with the rest of the junk. But when you slide that bone out of the trunk, blow out a few notes, and work that slide, it's just a tarnished, rusty mess from end to end, and it tastes like a penny in your mouth. Fortunately, there's a product to treat this invisible disability which afflicts and triggers so many. Shake that rust and tarnish off and bring back the beauty and luster of your instrument. Just a single application of the doctor's rusty trombone cream slathered on your slide brings out that sheen that says, I'm clean. 4 out of 5 Swedish trumpet players with crossover experience blowing rusty trombones after learning to play the clarinet at high school recommend Dr. Pickle Puffer's Rusty Trombone Cream. World-renowned Swedish trumpet soloist and rusty trombone crossover artist Helga Johansson says, it doesn't taste like ass anymore. Nothing is worse than blowing a mouthpiece covered in tarnish and rust. No matter how hard I've tried, I can never wash that metallic taste of ass out of my mouth after I've played a rusty trombone. But once I discovered the Doc's Rusty Trombone Cream, that aftertaste of ass just melts away and leaves a fresh and clean peppermint flavor. YouTube superstar and social influencer Peppermint Fatty gives 2 thumbs up for Dr. Pickle Puffer's trademark peppermint flavor. When I blow that bone after using the Doctor's Rusty Trombone Cream, it's like 2 pumps of peppermint syrup in my tadpole frap. Slide that trombone out of the trunk with the confidence and certainty it's rust-free.
Grab some Dr. Pickle Puffer Rusty Trombone Cream and start blowing with confidence today.
So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break here, and after the break, we'll be right back. I'm LP Faust, I'm your host, Cultural Odyssey of the Stars, Ringmaster of the Shit Show this evening. Look at that. Show is already almost finished. Look at how fast that goes, man. Gotta love the venomous pinks. Hey, man, I'm LP Faust, I'm your host, Cultural Odyssey of the Stars, you know the drill. So we're talking about that whole staying fat bit over there, and, you know, during that whole staying fat bit, one of the greatest things came up. There's a dude that went over to freaking YouTube because I guess TikTok isn't fashionable enough for him at this stage of the game. But he decided that what he's going to do is he created his own challenge. He recreated Gordon Ramsay's beef Wellington with ingredients from fucking 7-Eleven. That's right, kids.
I mean, what the fuck?
So you know all this, how it's all this labor-intensive shit. Let's just skip to it. So Scherer, who creates this thing, first starts off by making a demi-glace out of beef jerky, a Coke Slurpee, some Big Bite quarter-pound hot dogs, and chili from the nachos machine. I'm just offended already, man. That's just nasty as fuck. So then after that, what he winds up doing is... this is so nasty. He goes down to a T-slice mushrooms that are not even a 7-Eleven staple, uses their convenience store counterpart, which is obviously corn nuts mixed with hot dog topping bar condiments, including pico de gallo and pickled jalapenos. And he adds veggie straws also. That's fucking disgusting. And then, of course, to the main star of the show, the meat. Since 7-Eleven isn't particularly well known for its selection of fine-cut beef, he goes back to the hot dog. He basically makes a loaf out of ground hot dogs stuffed with more hot dogs to create the core of this not-so-traditional convenience store beef Wellington. Now, the bad part is, how on earth does he go ahead and actually, like, you know, create the crust, if you will, right? The pastry. Well, it's particularly genius because he scrapes the sauce and cheese off a frozen pizza crust and wraps the dough around the hot dog loaf, corn nut duzel, and 7-Eleven. And 7-Eleven sub sandwich ham deli meat. Oh, fuck me. And then he brushes the hot dog ham loaf delicacy with nacho cheese sauce. He then deep fries the whole thing. And the ending product is pretty fucking magnificent. So he goes ahead and feeds this to his coworker, Trevor, and who eats a spoonful. He sounds like he's crying through the whole thing and proclaims, "To be honest, it really doesn't have a flavor that far off from just a hot dog. But I don't think if you asked Gordon Ramsay to do this, he could have done it like you. Finest compliment ever." This has got to be one of the single greatest culinary fucking articles that has been put out all year long. You know what I'm saying here?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Jesus Christ, man. That's like going ahead and putting together some like child's craft art using stuff that you find over inside of the fucking 7-Eleven. That is particularly disgusting. Oh, my God. You know what? Let's just make everybody feel better. Hey, man, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. You've been listening to Joculation this evening, so we went through a couple of things this afternoon or evening, whatever the case may be. You know, whatever that time zone is. So we went ahead early on in the show, started out talking about some Muppets. We talked about just the insanity of Goop Labs and all the shit that they've come up with at that time. And how the National Health Service urges you not to listen to Gwyneth Paltrow and use any of her supplies and all that shit to treat yourself for COVID disease. We went ahead and came up with a fantastic, you know, inspirational award called Great Moments and Just Shut the Fuck Up Already. You know, we got Meghan McCain was our honorary inductee for the first round of it. And the honorable mention went to Chuckie Munger. So we went ahead and took a look at that. Wow. Check me out. We talked about erotic snow sculptures popping up over in Winnipeg, Canada. TikTok user who used erection cream to go ahead and plump his lips up because, of course, that's what I would do, right? I mean, shit, you got a choice, right? Either Gorilla Glue a solo cup to your face or, you know, use erection cream on your lips. I mean, you know, dealer's choice here. You know what I'm saying? We talked about China, accidentally on purpose, anal swabbing U.S. diplomats. We talked about banned Dr. Seuss books and shit. We've talked about an awful lot of stuff tonight. But you want to know what the greatest is? You did miss a lot. Quite a bit, actually. But one of the greatest things that we're talking about this evening has to be the fact that your tax dollars at work went ahead and sponsored a bunch of scientists who wanted to play music to cheese as it aged so that they could go ahead and determine whether or not it had any kind of an impact on the bacteria and enzymes inside the cheese. So it turns out that, in a nutshell, the answer is yes, it did. I believe it said that, if it listened to hip-hop, it was funkier. If it listened to classical music, it was smoother. All that sort of shit. And, of course, bacteria is responsible for the formation of the taste of cheese with enzymes that influence its maturity. I'm convinced that humidity, temperature, and nutrients are not the only things that influence taste. Sounds, ultrasounds, or music can also have physical effects. So apparently, Michael Harenberg, Harenberg, director of the music program at Berner University of the Arts. See, he was all skeptical until he went ahead and started aging his own cheese in there. And then, I started to think about it a bit with all the different merch that I'm pulling together here. I think what I should do is have some groundbreaking merchandise using this very thing, right? What I should do for merch is I should start aging some breast milk cheese to the soundtracks of the show to try and produce my own authentic flavor, if you will, inside of cheese so that I could, go ahead and sell it to a cheesemonger near you. You know what I'm saying? The joculation fucking fromage over here that you two can go ahead and own. It's ripened inside of my cave over here that I work out of. It would be absolutely fucking perfect, right? Yeah. I'm just saying, man. Got to be a forward-thinking person. Got to think out of the box because, where do I plan on getting the breast milk? I don't know, man. Maybe we could go ahead and claim that we have a child, another child, and go get some, donated breast milk over at the local hospital. I don't know, man. No more kids. I've already got enough. Thank you very much. Can't you tell? I'm already worn out. What am I going to do? Go ahead and actually help provide that? Yeah, I'd milk clay. Crowdfund for it? Hell no. You sick fucks would actually go ahead and buy this and provide some funds to make this shit happen. LP, we seriously need some breast milk cheese that's aged to the soundtrack of the shows. That would be bad. I know. I should just create some non-fungible token of some kind to authenticate that these are actual true and legit pieces of cheese from the caves of LP Faust over in Faust Studios, Inc., right? Dude, we're not doing semen cocktails. We're doing breast milk cheese over here. Let's get it straight, right? Should I go ahead and brand my own erection cream also just for the lip challenge? I'm thinking I have to. I'll have to go ahead and put something together. I don't know what kind of vasodilators that I'll have to put in, but whatever, man. LP's magical cream over here. Yes, you two can go ahead and vasodilate your freaking lips with this cream here. What I thought was the greatest was with the dude sitting there saying, I just picked out the one that had the enormous penis on the front of it because somehow that equates to getting DSLs, right? Qua has milked a few bulls. Oh my, as the comments just go back and forth. Yeah, and wake up and milk all the almonds. It's almond juice, soy juice, all that sort of shit. So, as you can see, man, we had a very busy show here. That's all there is tonight. There is no more. Now, we'll catch you next week with some more joculation. As William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage as we front and as we strut. All right, let's try that again. As William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage as we strut and fret across the stage of life. Always be sure to ask yourself, why watch a show when you can be the show? I'm LP Faust checking out. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.